Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear the Gospel from St. Luke and talk about the call to be evangelizers. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
This year's Black and Gold Gala benefiting St. John Paul II High School will be a mega event at the American Bank Center Saturday, February 20th. Doors will open at 5:30 for auction item viewing and social hour, followed by dinner at 6:30. Featured will be dancing to the music of Five Card Draw, a live and silent auction, and loads of fun. Proceeds benefit St. John Paul II High School and its mission of providing an accessible, quality Catholic education to students in the Diocese of Corpus Christi through tuition assistance so they can pursue excellence in the spiritual, academic, and community service tenets that form the core of this invaluable institution. Co-chairs are Laura and Hugo Berlanga and Alexis and Todd Hunter. For table reservations, sponsorships, and individual tickets, call 855-5744 or visit jpiihighschool.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and a happy Sunday morning to you.
Thank you, Barbara, and the same to you and the same to all of our listeners.
Yep, wonderful. It's a wonderful
beginning
day this morning.
Beginning of a new week.
It certainly is. It's a beautiful day. Whether the weather is where you are, it's a beautiful day.
Correct.
Well, our gospel today is from St. Luke, and it's a very familiar passage, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats, so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him, and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I see this gospel, and we had the Word of Life for February last month, but one of our Word of Life was lower your nets.
Lower the nets. That's
lower
right.
The
Not
nets.
Too long ago. I think
That's
it was,
right.
Yeah, sometime late last year. That's right. Lower the nets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a gospel of faith, you know. Jesus called Peter across the water, you know, to himself, or when they were in the boat. Many things happened on the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret, where the storm blew up and Jesus was asleep and the apostles became afraid and he calmed the water. So there was this constant interaction with the apostles around their own personal profession as fishermen. But this one, in a special way, I think— really shows, I say, almost a maturity of faith or a maturing faith. there's certainly discerning hearts that we have to see where Jesus perhaps is speaking to us. What impresses me with this, as Jesus approached them, they were washing their nets, he got into one of the boats, Simon's boat, and he asked him to push off to shore, and he sat down and he taught the crowds. The question, I think, for our own meditation, our own reading, is what was he teaching them?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think from what we were speaking of last Sunday with the Word of Life, of we have the Word, but do we experience it? And I think if my own imagination in considering these passages was he was probably teaching them something about faith. I know that Jesus, certainly as he does in our own personal prayer, but in his speaking, in his teaching, I'm sure he went right to the heart of people's lives. He probably was speaking that, what are you experiencing? Where do you need faith in your life? Where do you need that assurance that God is there with you, that God has not abandoned you, that the Lord loves you, even in your most difficult and darkest moments? I would imagine in my own prayer and consideration something like that. And then almost as if to exemplify or to give them the opportunity to see how much they trusted, how much they loved Jesus, he said, Simon, put out into the deep and lower the nets. In other words, you just heard what I said. Now let's try it out.
And of course, they were tired.
They were already tired. And he's, of course, puts up all the human objections, which is
That's
fine.
Right.
I mean, no one should be afraid of that. We all have, we're not angels. So we're going to say, well, wait a minute, we've been out all night. We just finished washing the nets. Why would we put them back in the water? We've just washed them. But Simon says, but at your command. So obviously something hit Simon's experience. And he said, at your command, we will do it.
I will lower the nets.
I will lower the nets. And if you say so. And there was the great catch, so much so that they had to share the catch with the others. This is a story of faith, and I think we need to not gloss over these stories. We need to let them sink in. What are they saying to us? That what seems to be impossible for us, what seems to be beyond our human capability or capacity, is possible with God. And to never give up. The problem in most of our lives is that we don't keep asking. We figure that we try one time, or maybe we go on our knees, or we maybe go into a church and we pray, and then tomorrow nothing happens. Well, you know, maybe it's the next day or the next day, and down the line, maybe the Lord doesn't want to answer us today, right away. There's a plan here. But we too often we give up too soon. We stop hoping. We stop having faith. This is the great tragedy of human life. It's a tragedy of the society today that wants everything now. Mm. Everything's got to be answered today. In the emails, I mean, my goodness. And everybody wanting an answer now. And it's just we're filled with all these requests. And it's just this pressure that everything has to be done now. Yeah. I need a response now. We can't wait. Life's, you know. So we can also throw in our wants periodically.
Right.
And if they conform to the needs that God has for us, that he wants for us, then that's fine too. But never give up asking. Never give up asking. If there's an illness in the family, if there's a loved one that may be incarcerated at this time, and I know in our diocese there are several people that have family members in that way, or someone who's sick, or whatever, or have lost a job. There's so many things that really disturb us in life. And these are the moments, put out into the deep waters and lower the nets. Don't give up. Don't give up. And if what I want is not answered, you will see that through this, there's something else that God wants. I was reminded the other day, and I thought it was just kind of an interesting, I'd never thought of it this way, but how people see things differently. Mm-hmm. And it was a story, I think his name is James Watt, who invented the steam engine. Mm-hmm. And in this, the story, it said how many people have seen a kettle, a water kettle, and seen the lid being blown up by the steam, or I mean popped
up.
And people just see that and don't think anything of it. This man saw it and he thought, my goodness, we can move something. We can move a train, or we can build a train with a steam engine to move. So two people see, or many people see the same thing and don't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
One person comes along and sees it and gets an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is much of what faith is about, that there is something in our life that needs to be moved, but not in our way all the time. But if we stop asking, if we stop hoping, if we stop believing, well, it never happens. Or it may happen and we'll never see it.
So, Bishop, and you're right, we need to continue asking, and you've talked many times on the program that we need to be specific in what we're asking God about. So, on the example for, just for instance, for someone that is ill, do we ask that they get better, or do we ask that God's will be done?
Well, I think both. Okay. Obviously both. I mean, mm-hmm. the specific part, the specificity is that this person be healed,
right,
if it is according to God's will, and if not, then that God will take care of this person, that I will understand God's will. You know, we have to put it in both contexts. What our human – God doesn't want to erase our humanity. And this is the great fallacy, I think, of people of faith. It's, we're still human. We can't be afraid of being human. We can't be afraid to ask and be specific. But the faith part is, at your command – I'll do it. At your command, I will believe. And so the command of Jesus, the command that God has for us, the story of our life is maybe totally different than what I'm experiencing or what I think it is. I may just see the steam kettle lid being popping, 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 popping. God may see me building a steam engine.
Right.
But if I only see one side and don't leave myself open to divine providence, then I'll never see the greater story. And that's something that we constantly have to look for. Is it just a kettle or is it a steam engine?
Mm-hmm. And so if our specific prayer isn't answered, we've got to look within ourselves that it was God's will and look at what that reason was for God's will, as you said, and accept it.
Right. But it's also not in a kind of resignation, but you know that God has something more planned. God's not the God of less. He's the God of more.
Right.
So I can't see it. But I accept this, and more is coming. Greater things are coming than I could foresee. So even if my loved one, isn't cured the way that I see and hope for, and certainly we would hope for that, but there's something more. You know, greater love is going to be required of you in caring for that person. And so you grow in love. You grow in patience. You grow in so many things in caring for another person. These are the things that we have to look for. You know, not how am I going to be inconvenienced or how much suffering is going to be involved in this, but what more is God giving to me through this situation?
Yeah, and that's where we need to be alert and open-minded.
That's the conversion, right.
All right, well, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue our conversation on the call to be evangelizers. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
The news is with us every day. Random shootings, enslavement, torture, protests, war. You can't turn on the news without hearing about some new violence taking place in the world every single day. The priests and parishioners of Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, 540 Hiawatha in Corpus Christi, invite everyone to pray the rosary with them any Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday at 6 p.m. for peace in our world. To hear more, call the church office, 882-1951.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Continuing with our conversation, you know, I think about the fact that, and of course we're in an area where we have a lot of fishermen, but it's not really a solo occupation. It takes a lot of people to make it all happen, and that's the way it is with discipleship.
Nothing in life is solo. I think this the problem. You know, when we think it's solo, that's where we get into trouble.
And as you said, we have that prison within ourselves.
Right. We kind of close into ourselves, and nothing is solo in life. So you find it here very explicitly in the gospel where the catch was so great that they had to call in the recruits, the others, the help. But before that, even, you know, they were partners. They were fishing together. They helped each other. And this is, you know, such a fundamental part of human life and a fundamental part of being a Christian is that we share who we are. We share what we are. And that's really, really our strength in doing that. In conjunction with that, too, I think you can imagine in the third part of this gospel where there was such a great number, I'm sure they were flabbergasted. And you can imagine yourself out there going, oh, my gosh.
They kept on coming.
Yeah, the emotions are going, and then the nets start tearing, the panic that's there, the boats were in danger of capsizing, they were in danger of sinking, and all this was happening at one time. But it was so overwhelming that Peter comes to a certain sentiment, you know, when in his approach to Jesus. As he approaches Jesus, who was probably standing there very calmly, like, you know, why'd you doubt? Mm-hmm. You know, this was going to happen. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And I think as we approach Lent, it's important as we look at ourselves, if we don't have someone to compare ourselves to in the correct way, in the healthy way, then we never recognize ourselves in the fact that Peter sees himself up against Jesus.
Wow.
This incredible miracle of the catching of the fish, the promises that Jesus has made, and again, we go back to whatever he said in his teaching there, all that was in front of Peter, and Peter probably in this moment experienced the doubt that he may have had, I guess in our sarcastic American way, we might have said, oh, yeah, right.
Exactly.
You know, kind of really, sure, put out for a cat. Well, and he's in front of all that, but he's in front of the perfection of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, which eventually he will hear as time goes on. Depart, I'm a sinful man. He feels himself unworthy. And this is always the fact, because Jesus is now saying to him, do not be afraid, as he goes on, because now you'll be catching men and women. You'll be evangelizers. But Peter is experiencing his weakness. You know, we've been accepting or talking to some young men, and I know the sisters have too, about entering the convent or for the young men becoming priests. And it's amazing, and yet I understand it. I mean, one of the first things that anyone says when they are talking to us about their vocation is they were afraid to come forward because they were not worthy. And I think it's that same experience with Peter. I'm a sinful man. I'm not worthy of this, that the call is so great, that the encounter with Jesus is so incredibly beautiful that we all feel unworthy. And certainly that's a valid experience. Right. That's a valid thought or emotion, but don't worry, Jesus will take care of our unworthiness, our sinfulness, our timidity, whatever it is that may keep us back from responding and answering the call in faith. He'll take care of that and give us what we are called to do.
So we're not to be afraid.
We should not be afraid. And I love those words that Jesus assures Simon Peter, do not be afraid.
Right.
And that's because of the promise of Jesus, I'm with you always until the end of time. What's, you know, the fear could also continue because he's giving really Peter a new direction in life. He's not going to be a fisherman of fish, but he's going to be embracing the message of Jesus and bringing it to others to manifest his own faith in Jesus as the foundation of bringing the message of Christ to others.
And of course, he was leaving everything he knew to do this.
And then he left everything. That's right. That's right. And then this is the conversion. You know, as we approach Lent, I'm going to be giving a talk to a group of priests during Lent, and I've been working on it already and thinking, you know, what we really need to think about, all of us, but as priests especially, is the word conversion. We normally many times think, well, conversion is when someone, becomes part of our faith or converts to another faith or converts something. But it's much deeper. It's so much deeper than changing to a certain set of beliefs. A real conversion is a calling to embrace the person of Jesus Christ. And that's something that is needed every day. It's a daily conversion amidst the temptation. So conversion is really the road to a transformation, to be that new person, just as Peter here was a fisherman and called to do something else. So conversion doesn't happen without the encounter with Jesus Christ. Also for Lent, we need to keep in mind that this conversion process is not just about me. What can I give up? And we'll talk about this next Sunday, maybe how to live and approach Lent better or for this year. But it's not just my efforts. You know, what can I give up? What can I do? What can I do? It's also God's grace, because we need to be quiet to say, what is God calling me to? What am I going to do, but what is God going to do in me, and will I respond to it? You know, this whole story today is not only about Peter's efforts, but it's about the call, the grace of God for Peter to be transformed. Peter had to cooperate with that, but the initiative was Jesus's, not his. We sometimes think, because we're so in control of life, that it's all about what I can do. We need to sit back also and realize, what does God, is he calling me to do? And that could come in the very simplest of ways, that we could find that, as it did to Peter, lower the nets.
And this is where we need to have some quiet time to think
exactly.
about it.
Exactly. I'm glad you said it. I say it all the time, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing it, but I just more and more and more convinced in my own life that without that quiet, peaceful time, which we can find if we look for it, that we will know that he's calling us to more. And we have to give ourselves to it. It's not just that it's an empty call. It's a call that we have to participate with.
So we'll have a lot to talk about.
So happy Ash Wednesday to everyone.
Yes.
This is Ash Wednesday coming up this week. We would encourage you to begin Lent in a very strong way by coming and presenting yourself to the church, to Christ, and to celebrate Ash Wednesday. The ashes are a simple reminder that we are human beings, that we are men and women of the gospel, that we are called to listen to the gospel, to put ourselves aside. He must increase and I must decrease. This is the conversion. It's not just about 40 days of giving up candy. It's about a real inner call to conversion, to live the gospel.
And when we receive our ashes on Ash Wednesday, that's kind of the beginning, you know, for us to really start those quiet moments so that we can hear him. It may not happen. I want it to happen right away, but it may not happen
it won't.
That way.
Don't worry. I can already tell you it won't happen, but it's a call to cooperate, right? Cooperate in patience with God. And it takes all of our life. It takes our entire life. So if we put that as the road ahead, it's not today, tomorrow, it's the rest of our life, then perhaps we can be a little more patient.
Mm-hmm. Ash Wednesday is a beautiful day.
Yeah, so I would encourage everyone to participate. And it's not a holy day, so there's no sin involved if people are not able to go. But I would encourage people during this Lenten time to do two things. And that would be to increase attendance at Mass during the day, the daily Mass, if that's possible, and to spend time in quiet with the Scripture. The Gospel of the Day, which you can find on the website, what is the Gospel of this particular day, or take the Gospel of the Sunday, or take the Word of Life that we read for the full month.
Right.
But spend time with the Word of God. Or choose a verse or a passage from one of the Gospels or from Saint Paul or one of the others, and just spend time with it. You don't have to understand it intellectually, but give yourself to it. So attend the Eucharist more often, the sacraments of penance as well, and also listen to the Word of God attentively.
Good. We have a lot to do for the next several weeks. So, Bishop, if you could close our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Keep your family safe, O Lord, with unfailing care, that relying solely on the hope of heavenly grace, they may be defended always by your protection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a wonderful Ash Wednesday.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.